we come to our regular Thursday book slot. I don't know how regular it is because we keep changing the time, but we, and talking about time, we're going to be chatting now with an editor who is in Florida, Jill Katz, who's written a fantastic, I mean, I've been looking at it, book called Ho-Ho's. Jill, what's the time where you are?
The time now here is 25 to 10.
Oh, so we haven't woken you up in the middle of the night, have we?
No, you were kind.
Well, glad I could be kind today. And I wanted to ask people out there, what do you get when you mix a royal butterfly, a South African picnic ant, and a hat box? Well, apparently you get a magical, hilarious, and heartwarming adventure. And as you hear there, Jill Katz, who is author of Ho-Ho's, is joining me on the line from Florida. And she has written a vibrant children's book inspired by a musical she originally wrote for her child's school, and now reimagined as a novel celebrating friendship, courage, and the miniature world beneath our feet. It's set in the South African bushveld and filled with quirky characters, and it's already been described as The Lion King meets A Bug's Life with a proudly local twist. Jill, thanks so much for chatting with us. If I can start at the beginning, Ho-Ho started as a musical. What sparked the idea, and how did it transform into a book?
Paula, what happened was every year at Emerentia Primary School, the school would put on a production, and it would be The Wizard of Oz or Alice in Wonderland. And I thought to myself, I had three children at the school at the time, why not have a South African flavored show? And I started having a look through books and going to the library and couldn't find anything that I thought really was something different, something African. So I thought, well, let me try and put something together. And I wrote Ho-Ho's, and because we always use music in the musicals for the children's schools, I wrote some songs to go with the story and went to my best friend Caroline, whose brother had a recording studio in the back of his house in Krugersdorp, and we recorded the music on cassette tape. So when the show went on, the children had me sitting backstage frantically trying to be a sound person and failing terribly, putting the cassette into this tape recorder, and the children would then sing the songs. And it was sometimes hilarious and sometimes it worked, but it was something different.
How long did it take you to write the songs and to write it as a performance?
I think about 6 months.
Okay, that's not long.
No, not too long. It came very easily. The story came very easily, and the characters kind of, as I started writing, so more ideas came. And I also went to the entomology department at Fitz University and researched the Ho-Ho's and became completely intrigued in the life of the ants and the bees and the chameleons and all the creatures that we often don't talk about, because South Africa, we talk about lions and elephants.
Yeah.
And we don't think about bees and ants and little creatures.
And then the idea for a book, where did that come from?
Well, about 12 years ago, I decided that it would be fun to rewrite Ho-Ho's as a novel and create some more stories, some more chapters. So I sat down and started to write, and the year that I left South Africa, which was 2011, the book was 90% finished. And I left it in the wonderful hands of Bev Goldman and Ivy Hesp, who edited it for me. Thank you, girls. And it took until now to get it done and illustrated. My daughter was here from Australia, and she digitally created all the characters, which have turned out very cute, very cute. And the book has finally, after a year of working very hard and putting it all together, finally is out there and published, and will have worldwide access in about a week or so. At the moment, it's only seems to be available in America and the UK and Australia, but it will be available in South Africa within a week or so.
And on that point, I know it's available in paperback and Kindle from Amazon.com. Jill, there's a beautiful line, yes, in your dedication about how children see magic at ground level. Do you think that we lose that ability as adults? And can books like this help us reclaim it?
Paula, I hope so. I think that one of the things I was trying to do is not only expose the lives of these little tiny creatures, but also the way that they have a structured lifestyle, and they plan, and they do things in a way that if they didn't do, we would have chaos. And when children can get down there and look at the beetles and the ants and the shongololos, and if the adults will also get down there and realize there's another world down there other than the adult world, which has become so ugly lately.
Mm.
You know, we can find so much beauty in the simple things. And the fact the story tells of different colors, different creeds, different believing together. Even the chameleon, who's the arch enemy of Lady Caroline, the butterfly, turns out in the end to become her friend, that we can actually befriend our enemies.
Why do you think hohos are such an unappreciated part of African storytelling?
I think principally because we've got these wonderful great big animals that people want to see. People don't really think about the little tiny creatures. They want to see the giants of the bushveld. In fact, when we produced hohos in Johannesburg, we started the show off with a narrator standing in front of the audience giving a lecture on the giants of the bushveld, and she's interrupted by Antlik the ant, who comes onto the stage with his picnic pack looking for picnic scraps because he's a picnic ant, and he gets very angry with her and says to her, why do you keep telling people about the elephants and the giraffes and the lions and the zebras, or why don't you tell them about us? And she says, well, what's so interesting about an ant? And he says, well, let me tell you the story.
Lovely.
So it's trying to bring children to understand there's another life down there, and to also see how we can learn from the insects.
The story touches on themes of fear, bravery, and friendship, but it also hints at deeper ideas of belonging and identity. Jill, was that intentional, especially in a South African context?
Yes, very, very much so. Paula, you must remember that I wrote the story in the apartheid days. So it had a lot of, in my adult head, a lot to do with politics of looking at one another and seeing each other through beautiful eyes. You know, and that was, I suppose, at the back of my mind right the way through the book.
And it's a book as much for adults as for children, isn't it?
I would think so, actually. I never thought about that. But yes, there are all kinds of little moral lessons, and wake up and have a look and, you know, understand what you could actually do to change the world. You know, in the story, when Lady Caroline, who's our butterfly from Buckingham Palace, when the chameleon finally gets her and wants to eat her, she says, well, why don't you just taste me first in case you don't like me? And he tastes her, and she's a monarch butterfly, and they give off a very unpleasant taste. And he realizes he can't eat her, and she says, well, let's become friends then. And he gives her the lesson that we can't be friends because nature's designed me to eat you and you to not be eaten by me. And she changes the story, and she says, yes, we can. And sort of put out your arms and give me a hug, and we'll learn about one another. And I think that says a lot about fear of the unknown, especially in those days. You know, I can't make friends with that person because he's not the right color, or he's not the right group. And here we have the chameleon who sees he can't fight his prey. So let's make friends and learn about one another.
Well, I, for one, am inspired. I think those lessons are relevant today and applicable today. Jill Katz, author of Hohos, a delightful tale of tiny creatures with big hearts. And as I mentioned earlier, it's now available on Amazon. And I think it's a reminder, Jill, that courage can come from the most unexpected places. And sometimes the smallest voices have the most powerful things to say. Thanks so much for joining us.